This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a joy it is to be together in this time of worship, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. It gives me great joy to see you all greeting one another here in this place and meeting new friends. I want to welcome all of you, and if you are visiting here for the first time, we're especially glad that you're here, and we hope that you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you and make some new friends this morning. I would invite all who are present in this time of worship to register your attendance. If you're joining us online, there should be a link you can click on to sign in. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you'll pass those down and sign them and pass them back, and notice the names of the friends sitting with you on your pew, and if there's someone you haven't met before, there's an opportunity. We have some things to celebrate together today. If you're a member of the congregation, you got an email about this in the midweek, but we want to celebrate the fact that we raised $24,000 for Habitat in 1 week, and God is good, and your generosity is amazing. So thank you. Our goal was to raise $15,000 last Sunday for our 2022 commitment, and you went well above and beyond that. So the additional amount will either be used to help other churches meet their commitments this year if they're struggling with that, or we'll save it for next year's Habitat build as we move and try to build one house a year. Another mission of our congregation is our Guatemala mission trip, and if you're interested in learning more about that, there's a gathering at noon today, and you are welcome to come. If you did not RSVP, you won't have a lunch available for you, but we're still welcome to come and learn more about that trip that will be happening in the fall. Vacation Bible School is around the corner. It's the last week of June. We're trying it in the evenings this year to allow more opportunities for volunteers, and you can register at our website /VBS. So we hope you'll get your kids registered. Today we are continuing our exploration of our membership vows. We've been spending the past few weeks thinking through what it means to strengthen the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Today we're considering what it means to serve in Christ's name. And out in the narthex and in Reed Hall, there are some brochures that our lay leadership team put together that listed many opportunities to serve within this congregation and beyond our walls. So we hope you'll take one of these. All of this is also on the website. So we encourage you to prayerfully consider if you're looking at ways maybe to re-engage or to engage in service, that you'll prayerfully consider one of these opportunities. Our preacher this morning is Katie Minnis. Katie has been part of this congregation for 4 years. She first came to us when she was a student at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and she served as an intern on our staff for 2 years, and we just couldn't let her go. So she became a full-time pastoral fellow this past year, also taking on a part-time appointment at Aldersgate United Methodist Church. So she has been very busy and has worked hard among us to let the loving light of Christ shine through us as a congregation. She will be commissioned as an elder in the United Methodist Church during annual conference this year, and then she will be leaving us. She and her husband, Quint, are going to be moving to Paducah, Kentucky, where she will be the lead pastor at Reedland United Methodist Church. So we're sad. We are very sad to lose Katie, and we are also thrilled at what God is doing in her life and Quint's life. And so you will be so blessed by her word this morning, and I hope that as we enter into this time of worship, that all of our hearts and minds are open to the word that she brings and to the ways that God is moving among us. On June 12th, during the Sunday School Hour, we will have a reception to celebrate Katie and Quint and their time among us during the Sunday School Hour, so I hope that you'll be with us on that day. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to the worship of God who has called us to this place to serve.
Awake, rise up. Let us prepare to worship and serve God. May we open our hearts to God's transformative power.
Praise be to God, who walks with us and guides us.
Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are freed from our captivity to sin and death. With gratitude for God's marvelous love for all the world, let us confess our sins, confident that we will receive grace and mercy. God who calls us, we confess that we do not always believe in your ability to bring life out of death. The needs of the world can seem so immense and complicated that we hardly know where to begin. It is easier to ignore the cries of the needy than to turn toward the messiness of hunger, poverty, and oppression. It is easier to accept scarcity and place blame than to look for abundance among your gifted people. Call us out of our complacency, O God. Help us to rise up in faithfulness, compassion, and love, that we might serve you by serving others, and in so doing, bear witness to the power of the resurrection in our midst. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, now we will exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do that however you feel comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Adam and Chelsea Short bring their daughter to God before our community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Adam and Chelsea, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith, which you answer on her behalf. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service to others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. And he calls his disciples to share in the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit live and reigns forever. Amen.
Daughter.
Hazel Scott.
I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ, the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who comforts you and sustains you all the days of your life. Now we're all going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we want your sister and your mom and dad to place a hand on you, maybe touch her foot there, and we'll all say this prayer together as a congregation. Hazel Scott, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Hazel, we're going to invite you and your family to come to the center here so everybody in the sanctuary and everybody worshiping with us on live stream can see you just a little more closely. This beautiful dress that your mother wore when she was baptized and other members of your family, as together we say our promises to this family.
Will the congregation please stand and face Hazel Scott? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Hazel Scott to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Hazel Scott, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Are there any kiddos out there that'll come sit up here with me so I don't have to sit by myself? Oh, thank you. Oh, there they come. Here we come. You can get closer if you want, but you don't have to. Would it be okay? Hi, Penny, how are you? Or are you SpongeBob today? Yeah. Last week she told me she was SpongeBob. Would it be okay if I told you a story about this dream that I had? Yeah, that'd be okay? So I had this dream, and it was around the time when I was asking myself, what was it that God wanted me to do to serve God? So in this dream, I'm in the woods. It's not scary, but it's kind of rainy and kind of cold, and I take a walk with God. But do you know how God showed up in the dream? As a blanket. I know. As a blanket. God showed up as a blanket and wrapped around me so I was nice and warm and cozy, and I felt so much comfort. But the next part of that dream is I kept walking, and I got to this really pretty field, and there were flowers in it, and the sun was shining, and I wanted really, really bad to go and play in the field. But guess what? I was afraid. So I found a tree, and I sat down with my God blanket, and I bundled up, and I just spent some time with God. Well, then something crazy happened. A few months later, I had the dream again. But this time, when I got to the meadow, well, can y'all help me out with this part? Let's stand up. This time, when I got to the meadow, I wasn't afraid. And so you know what I did? I put my arms out. You put your arms out. And I spun around, and I laughed, and I was just hanging out in that beautiful meadow with God. And you know what happened? My blanket, it turned into a cape. It did. Let's sit back down. The really cool thing about God is God shows up for us in all different sorts of ways, and even through different kinds of people. And in my dream, God showed up as a blanket, and God showed up as a cape, because I needed God's comfort, and I needed God's courage. And you know what? You can have both of those too. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you so much for being our blanket and our cape. Thank you for the comfort that you give us and the courage that you give us to serve you in the world. Amen. Okay, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie.
I am 3.
You are 3.
I am 53.
Okay, congratulations. This week is the fourth part of our Acts of Discipleship series that's happening during the month of May. And each week, we've looked at a different part of our membership vows. So far, we've talked about what it means to be faithful to the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, and our giving. Today, we get to focus on service. So often, the most powerful ways that I've learned that we can serve God and the church are connected through our experiences. People who felt ignored the first time they visited a church might now serve as greeters. People who were told they are unworthy of God's love, maybe those are now the ones that remind people that they are. People who were impacted, good or bad, by a Sunday school teacher might be the ones to step up and volunteer for Sunday school. It's powerful when we serve God as a response to our experiences. and that we take it upon ourselves to work towards a more loving and inclusive kingdom because of what we've experienced. And that's part of Tabitha's story today that really spoke to me. Serving in the spaces where we ourselves have experienced the need. And for me, that meant finding out how to serve in the church again. Minus a few tweaks here and there, I've had this sermon done for a few days, or so I thought. But when I woke up this morning, it changed. Totally different. Even practiced what I had on Quint last night, but thankfully he just has to hear this one twice, not three times. I woke up this morning and I kept thinking about this phrase, "Dark Night of the Soul." That's a title of a poem that was written by St. John of the Cross in the 16th century. And as you could probably guess from the title, it's a poem that journeys alongside the soul as it goes through a dark night. Tabitha went through a dark night of the soul. In this season of Easter, we get to think about what resurrection looks like in each of us and all around us. But often, in order for us to fully understand and embrace the truth, the power of resurrection, we have to go through that dark night of the soul. So I'm going to do something a little different than we do at Weston sometimes, and I want to share with y'all part of my story and how grateful I am to be part of you all. In July of 2017, when Quint and I moved to Nashville, I was in the middle of one of my darkest nights of the soul. Quint and I had just gotten married, but that's not why. That was good. While I was in college, I had served as a youth intern, and then the 4 years following that, I served at the same church as a youth minister. And I loved the work itself. I still love hanging out with middle schoolers and high schoolers. It's so fun. But the last year and a half of that job was very, very difficult. The person who was supervising me in ministry had recently gone through an extremely tragic change in their own life because of a tragic accident involving their spouse. And that resulted in their life together in retirement looking totally different than what they had dreamed. And so I'm very thankful for therapy because now I'm able to understand that what happened was that the trauma that he was facing and the aggression and the disappointment that he was navigating got directed at me. See, I was the very young adult woman trying to navigate what my calling was in the church. And unfortunately, I was easy to control. So I endured a lot of verbal and spiritual abuse during those months. And I was almost done with the church totally because of it. And that's a big deal for me. When I was little, I loved going to church. I guess I have to verify if it's true or not because they're here. But my parents used to tell me that I would get excited on Sunday mornings and be like, "It's church day." Okay, that's true? Okay. I didn't lie. So for me to want to leave the church, it's a very dark night of my soul. The text tells us about Tabitha that the things that she did were connected, I think, to who she was. It's important to pay attention to the things that make us who we are. So we learn that Tabitha is a disciple, but instead of the masculine form of the Greek word for disciple, which is used everywhere else in the New Testament, Luke, our author, uses the feminine word for masculine here, or excuse me, the feminine word for disciple here. This is the only place in the New Testament when a female is called a disciple. So Tabitha is someone to pay attention to. But until recently, I never really paid that much attention to her background. Her appearance in Acts is actually really fast, and she's dead for most of it. But I think her story, the one that we don't hear before and after this experience, is powerful. She was committed to good works and acts of charity. She made clothes for the widows and lived in Joppa. And she was known by some as Dorcas. And that's about it. I read in several essays as I was preparing for this week that Tabitha herself was most likely a widow too. I'd always just assumed that Tabitha was a young, single, unmarried woman, kind of like I was when I first heard this story, that just did the work of the church because that's what she was supposed to do. But this got my attention because Tabitha had experienced pain before. She had experienced loss and grief before. So she knew firsthand what it was to be forgotten. And in response to that, she committed her life to serving those like her. Her work in this healing community was so beautiful and powerful that when Tabitha herself became ill and died, her community gathered around her and offered that healing community to her. I shared during the children's message about a dream that I had, and I really don't know if that's what I should call it. I was awake, but I don't want to call it a vision, or I don't know what to call it. I'll just say vision, dream. Both times, like I said, I was awake in this two-part dream vision experience. And the first part was in a guided meditation that was actually led by one of my best friends at a youth retreat. And it was towards the beginning of my really dark night of the soul. And when I was there, I experienced in that woods, in the rain, in the cold, God was with me and wrapped around me, but I was trapped and afraid to go into the field and live into the calling that I knew I had. But God was with me anyway and stayed with me the entire time. That's actually one of my favorite characteristics of God. She's able to comfort us. So part two of that vision, the one that happened a year later, took place right out there in the parking lot. First visitor spot, to be exact, if you want to go check it out. Might put a memorial plaque there someday. This is the spot. It was time for me to do my field education with my time at Vanderbilt Divinity. And I had told them repeatedly, do not put me in a church. They're like, okay, Katie, what do you want to do? It's like, well, okay. I like spiritual practices and praying and Bible study and building community and worship service and helping other people. Da, 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 da. I got put in a church. So here I went, salty and all, and I showed up one midday week to meet with the senior pastor of West End United Methodist Church. So I walked into Pastor Carol's office, and I was also introduced to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Nancy, and I was invited to take a seat. And honestly, I don't remember a whole lot of the details about the conversations themselves, but I remember the hope that I felt. And I remember crying a lot, which is a habit I have continued every time I go into Pastor Carol's office. It happened this week. And I remember being so shocked by how open they were to my ideas and to helping me find my calling, to seek out what it is that God wanted me to do in this world. I was spiritually flabbergasted. I was surrounded by these strong female pastors, and it felt safe. It was after that meeting when I got into my vehicle and I turned the key, and I was just back in the field. And it was unlike anything I'd felt before. And like I told the kids, this time in the field, I felt safe. I felt safe enough to stretch out and to run around and to play and to take up space and to twirl and to fall down and to get up and keep going and bask in that healing sunshine. And God was right there with me too, like a cape. Y'all, that's what I got to do here. Thank you. Thank you for being my field. It was 4 years ago today, or this month, this week of May, that Quint and I joined this church. So it's interesting. But while here, I have felt that my truest self become resurrected again. When Tabitha died the first time, because we'd know if there was a 2,000-year-old woman hanging out in the Middle East, the first time she died, when the widows gathered around and they were weeping for her and they cared for her body the best way that they could, and they shared stories and memories and they showed off these garments that she had beautifully and lovingly made for them. And they created this space where she could just be, where she could be raised. And even though the text tells us that Peter's the one that told her to get up, Katie's interpretation, I think the widows and the saints loved her back to life. I think they held her hand as she came forth from her dark night of the soul. Something that Jennifer Freeman raised this week at Tuesday morning Bible study was this concept that I hadn't thought of. Was Tabitha physically different after this resurrection? Did she have any impairments or limitations or side effects that ended up becoming part of her everyday life as a result? We've seen over and over again, especially in the last 2 years, that just because an illness is gone in someone's life, there are residual effects that may last for the rest of their life. Peter just tells Tabitha to get up, and then he shows her community, here she is, she's alive. And that's it. We don't know what her condition is. We don't know how she was able to show up in the world, but we know that she could. When we experience resurrection, that doesn't mean that we look or feel or function the same way as we did before. In fact, it normally means the opposite. Healing community has the power to transform us, to tell us to get up and live, whatever that might look like. And even that might mean living your life differently on the other side because of what you've experienced. As it's been shared, I'm coming towards the end of my time in ministry here at West End. I made it longer in this sermon than I did the first one. And I'm feeling a lot of grief, but also a lot of hope. Hope for the future because of all these things that I've been able to learn and experience here. The incredible pastors of this church have mentored me and encouraged me and supported me. They've let me work aside them and share my crazy and annoying ideas and still let me keep learning from them. You as a congregation, you continue to be brave enough to grapple with what it means to be a follower of Jesus in 2022 and to find ways to serve God and live that out in this church and in the world. In this field, in this beautiful meadow, I've been given space to dream and explore and to be weird, to fly around with my cape. Y'all have helped me discover what it means to be a pastor. I've been challenged to step into my gifts and find my voice that I told I wasn't allowed to have. And feeling trusted here, I'm so grateful for all the ways that you have believed me and supported me in my calling when I doubted it. It was here that I received clarification of my calling to be an elder in the United Methodist Church, which should happen this summer. And despite my initial conviction, I said I could never and would never be in congregational ministry or have my own church. But here we are. Get ready, July. This church, West End, has supported me in the candidacy process. You have affirmed me in ways that my soul so desperately needed. You cared for me last fall when I found myself in the hospital for a couple weeks and healing in the coming weeks to follow. This church has supported me and prayed for me and filled out forms for me because there's a lot of those in the candidacy process. This church has let me teach and preach and create and pray and write. Y'all, thank you. This church gave me the opportunity to create the community that my soul needed. And I soon realized that it was a space that other people needed too. One of the first things that I was asked to do as an intern here was to create a class for youngish adults that were at various stages in their lives. Their lives looked all kinds of different ways. And even though, because I'm serving another church, I don't get to go to Sunday school anymore, they still meet every Sunday, and they have parties, and they love each other, and it's a beautiful community. Mosaic, y'all were my widows. You were my people. We all came together. We felt hurt and confused by the church and religion and what we were supposed to do with it. But we found resurrection together. And as you can tell, I'm often overwhelmed by the beauty of that community. One story they won't ever let me forget about was when I cried in a swimming pool because I loved them. It happens. One thing that this congregation as a whole taught me was how we are to respond when people feel hurt and rejected by the church in an immediate way. With the unexpected passing of the traditionalist plan at the 2019 General Conference, this church taught me something. Right away, y'all put together a special service with prayer and scripture and a time of sharing. Then it was beautiful and it was healing and it gave me hope because it reminded me that places like West End exist. Because the world is too busy telling people they're not good enough. Y'all are telling people that God loves them no matter what. And that is important. And that is work that needs to be done in this world. And I'm so grateful that this church does that. There are a lot of moments that I cherish. In the first four drafts of this sermon, I kept having to cut out the list. It was very long. Y'all wouldn't make it to lunch if I gave it to you. But just overall, thank you, West End United Methodist Church, for being my healing community. For being with me as I walked out of my dark night of the soul and telling me, Katie, get up, you can do this. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for being a field for me where I could spin around and help me fly with my God cape. Most all of us, I would be willing to guess, have experienced at least one dark night of the soul. And I don't know if, like for you, that dark night led you here or to another faith community. But I know God led me here. I had a vision that may as well have been a flashing arrow right over West End. I just remembered something. I never told you this. One weekday when I was at Vanderbilt Divinity, I was walking over here for a meeting and there was a cloud arrow in the sky pointing at West End. So I did get my arrow. Can't believe I forgot about that till right now. Oh, God's funny. But this is where I needed to be. This church is an incredible place filled with incredible loving people. But in order for West End to continue to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond, it needs you. As Pastor Carol mentioned, there's a booklet that you can get by the doors as you leave that our lay leadership team put together, and it's filled of all the ways you can serve in this church and then therefore serve in the community. I'm standing here today because of those of you that served and allowed me to experience healing by serving here too. This work is important. Serving in the church is important. And there's a spot for each and every person. Seriously, check the booklet. It's kind of thick. You should. They're right there in there. So y'all, I'm about to leave. But y'all have to keep this place going because there are other Tabithas, there are other people that are in desperate need of healing community that I know you can provide. And you do that in the ways that you continue to serve in this church and live into your ministry vow, your membership vow to serve God in this church. We're all called to serve. You may be a Tabitha too, or you might see one in the pew next to you. But lean into the healing community that can be found in this incredible place. And thank you for letting me be a part of it for the last 4 years.
I'm grateful that some wise person put a box of Kleenex in the lectern. Tears of joy to have the privilege to work alongside of you. We have been called to be the church, to find our ways to serve. And we are given an opportunity in this time of worship to rise in body or in spirit and affirm our commitment to be the church and our belief that God leads us. So I invite you to stand as you are able and join with me in our affirmation of faith found on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We continue our life together as a healing community as we pray together, we joining our hearts and minds and lives together in a spirit of prayer. If you have a joy or concern that you'd like to share with our pastoral staff, we meet every Monday at 1:15 and pray for this congregation and our community and our world. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can use one of the gray cards that's in the pew racks in front of you. Fill those out and place them in the offering plates as they go by in a moment. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website to the Contact Us and find the link there to share a prayer concern. This morning, we are joyfully celebrating the birth of Edward Wiley Gray, who was born on December 24th, 2021, to Raleigh Ann and John Gray. He's welcomed also by his grandmother, Peaches Gunter Blank. With these and other joys and concerns on our hearts, let us join together in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, you call us to be resurrection people. As we begin our prayers together this morning, we take a moment in silence to breathe in and to receive into our hearts once again your unconditional love for us. May your Spirit work within us to transform us, deepening every day our love for you, for our neighbors, for ourselves, and for your world. Empower us to live and serve in ways that transform this world and move us ever closer toward the beloved community you call us to be. Remind us that through our praying, we join in the healing work you're already doing. And so today we pray together, for our world is in deep need of healing and transformation. There are many places in our lives, in our community, and in your world that seem to be going through the dark night of the soul, and we lift them up to you. We continue our prayers today for the people of Ukraine, as the conflict there drags on and supplies and food, health care, and safety diminish. Lord, bring your peace. We pray with heavy hearts, remembering 10 of your beloved people who died at the hands of an angry gunman in Buffalo. We call out the racism and hatred that fueled his actions, and we recommit ourselves to our baptismal vows to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves. Lord, bring your justice. We pray for communities as we continue to struggle with the coronavirus that just won't let us go. Lord, bring your healing. We pray this day for the sick, the grieving, the lonely, the poor, and the poor in spirit. Lord, bring your hope. With your resurrection power, you bring us out of the dark night of the soul into a new day. And this day we give you thanks for all those who have faithfully served you in and through this congregation, from the bakers of the communion bread to the hosts of Room in the Inn, we thank you. We ask that you would make us instruments of your peace. Fill us with resurrection hope and power. Give us each a cape of our own with which we can dance and fly as you show us ways to serve. We do it all for your sake and in the hope that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We can support the serving and mission of this congregation through our giving, and we invite you to give as you are able this day. If you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link there you can use to make your gifts this day. And we invite our ushers to come forward as we in the sanctuary offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offering to God, who loves each one of us unconditionally. seated for just a moment. We have some new members to welcome this morning. I invite Wayne and Ann Underhill to come forward. My battery ran out, so I need a handheld.
What a great day this is. Baptisms and memberships. So glad y'all are here today. I would like to introduce you to Ann and Wayne Underhill. They are retired, but they used to work with healthcare, financial operations, and management. They have two adult daughters and four grandsons that also live here in Nashville, and they are moving their membership here from Belmead UMC.
And so as we've been exploring the membership vows, we have an opportunity to hear those again and reaffirm our vows with you. So I ask you now, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say we will. Amen. I invite you and the congregation now to rise in body or in spirit and join me in affirming the Underhills, our newest members of the church family. My family of God, Ann and Wayne, are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
And now, Anne and Wayne, may the God of grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. I'm going to take Ann and Wayne out the Reed Hall door and invite you to come and greet them alongside me after the service. Welcome them into the family.
have been summoned to go into the world to share the love and light and peace and joy and grace of God. Be raised, be healed, and serve. Go in peace. Amen.